Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory with great warranties. Fabulous pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee, which really eases the buying experience. And a fabulous service department that backs it all up with great technicians for the life of the vehicle. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. The Seattle Kraken won the opener last night in overtime, beating the Dallas Stars 5-4. But for the Dallas Stars, Joe Pavelski, who's been one of the top players in this league for a long time, he put on quite a show. He scored all four Dallas goals.
And there is a steal in the neutral zone by Domi. Across the line, Marchman. Pavelski to the net. Rashad, score! Right on cue! Straight away, Harley. Rashad, score! Deflected on the way in! Into the skates of Pavelski. Across the line. Ben shoots. Save me! Rebound! Score! Throw the hats! Hakanpää with speed. Looking for Pavelski. Score! He did it again!
He must be one heck of a baseball player, too, because there is nobody with better hand-eye coordination than Joe Pavelski. A broken play.
Bob Wischusen, by the way, with the calls on ESPN. Bob is not only an excellent football, basketball announcer, he's a terrific hockey announcer as well. And Joe Pavelski, four goals, yet Seattle won 5-4, and there are the Kraken. In their second year of existence, won the opening series, knocked out the defending cup champion Colorado Avalanche, and now up one game to none, winning on the road. Got to give them credit. Got to give them credit. It's been a lot of fun. It's the difference between what the NBA has and what the NHL has. The NHL, now the Kraken won in overtime last night. There is nothing like overtime in a Stanley Cup game. There is nothing in sports like it. It is really tense, fun, nothing like it. But they're also at a point because of the way everything played out, and they're more and more, let's face it, we are seeing probably the greatest parody in the history of sports in North America with every league. I mean, every league now has parity. In the NFL, you can quickly move up. You can quickly slide back. You look at Major League Baseball. More and more teams have an opportunity, it seems, more than ever to win the championship, as evidenced by the Atlanta Braves, the Washington Nationals. I mean, All kidding aside when it comes to the Yankees have only won one World Series in this century. Right? And they've been spending more money than anybody, and other teams have been winning. Look at Tampa Bay. They don't have a great payroll. The Pirates don't have a great payroll. They're both off to great starts. Then there's the... But when you look at the NBA and the Stanley Cup playoffs... So I'm going to take the parity part a little bit further. So in parity, Seattle wins Game 7 at Colorado. Florida wins Game 7 at Boston. And the Rangers get knocked out in Game 7, but in Newark. But what they did in the process of that happening is that a lot of the stars got knocked out. The Bruins are a big name, one of the original six. Pasternak's a star. Marchand's a star. Bergeron's a star. Right? The Rangers are one of the original six, and they made deals. They picked up Tarasenko from the Blues. They picked up Kane from the Chicago Blackhawks. They have Kreider. They have stars. And one of the original six, they have name recognition. And, of course, the Avalanche, the defending cup champions, and Cale Makar and everybody that they have on that team, all right, get knocked out. So who are the stars remaining in this? Any names from, Kachuk pops out for the Florida Panthers, Austin Matthews for Toronto, really nobody in the New Jersey Carolina series, Jack Eichel for Vegas, and of course, the guy that will win the Hart Trophy this year, Connor McDavid, and Draisaitl. And for Seattle, Matty Berniers? And, Pavelski, maybe Jamie Benn for Dallas, whatever. But you're stretching to get there. The NBA, with all of its parity, Milwaukee knocked out. But they're knocked out by Miami, which has Jimmy Butler. The Knicks are still there. Right? Doesn't matter between the Celtics and the Sixers as to who wins on star power. No matter. That winner, it's either going to be Embiid, Harden, whatever, or Brown, Tatum, whatever. Lakers series with Golden State. It's either going to be Curry, Green, Thompson, or LeBron, Davis. It's even with all the parity, and then there's Denver and Phoenix. It's Durant, it's Paul, it's Booker. Oh, it's Jokic, it's Murray. It's one thing the NBA, in terms of name recognition, with their parity, has more moving forward than the NHL does. Doesn't matter. Best team wins. I'm just saying in terms of ratings, casual fans, and so forth, some of the big names in hockey got knocked out. There is no Crosby in the playoffs this year. There is no Ovechkin in the playoffs this year. And then you had others that got knocked out. The NBA is in good shape because no matter what, you'll have stars advancing. And it does mean something. But we have more parity in sports than ever before. That's how the Eagles, for example, can get to the point that they did in a quick turnaround. It can happen in the NFL like that. It can happen like that in the NFL. You have the proper kind of schedule. Everything falls into place for you. You get a proper draft pick. I will say one quick thing about Howie Roseman being a genius, and that is this. Two things, and this goes to your guy, Jalen Carter. I know you're a big Carter fan.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
When we talk to his representatives, they all speak highly of you. But two things. Number one, he's a genius for what he did. He picked a guy that other people didn't want. Okay? And they had their reasons. The only other teams I thought that really had it, that really would consider him would be the Raiders and the Seahawks. And not only that, but you do realize he traded up one spot to get him. He traded up one spot to get a guy that other teams weren't taking. Now he had the collateral to do it, but I haven't heard anybody bring that part up. You flip with the Bears. Did he think the Bears were going to take Carter? I mean, seriously, did he really think the Bears were going to take Carter? They were going to take a tackle the entire time, right, to help out Fields. I mean, which team in here was going to pick Carter? Which one? When the Raiders went past him at 7, okay, there's nobody's going to take him in here. Who? The Seahawks at 20? I'm asking, who was going to take him?
No, it's a fair question. Yeah, because I don't... there'd be nobody.
I mean, I don't want to hear... I mean, you're going to sit there, he's a genius for doing something other teams look at him and go, we're not going to take him. All these teams. And then he traded up to get him. He could have sat at 10, done nothing. Because the Bears weren't going to take him. I mean, he is a really talented player. He might be the single most talented player in this draft. So, look, I think he has a chance, with things falling into place, to be just a terrific defensive tackle in the league. So please, let's take that aside. But we all know that in this particular year, the list of problems he's going through right now are long. Okay? And not only have the list of problems been long, it has affected him performance-wise. So I always look, he's a genius for getting him. Like, a genius for getting him. A genius for picking a guy other teams like said, nah, I don't think so. I'm not going to draft him.
I think most of it, though, was he was a genius to where the position that he got to get those players. I don't think it was necessarily the players that he got. I think it's just the position that he put the Eagles in to be in that spot.
Oh, no.
Being at 10,
no,
being at 30, and this and that.
Right. I mean, that's the key to it, that he did it. But he also gave up capital to get Carter. He moved up one spot when he didn't need to move up. I mean, what, do you think the Bears are going to take him?
No.
I mean, seriously.
I mean, he didn't give up. He gave up just a fourth-round pick. But, I mean, I see what you're saying. You didn't have to do it at all. Yeah.
Right. It was like, okay, I don't get... I mean, I think the Bears used the pick. I think, is that the one they used to get Rashawn Johnson, or was the one they used to get Tyler? May have been Tyler Scott from Cincinnati they got. But, okay. Yeah, I wouldn't go overboard on this. Now, the trade to get where he ends up picking 10, I mean, it's not quite the equivalent of the Celtics having the first and third pick by making a deal to get Robert Parrish and then drafting Kevin McHale. That's a... No offense, but it's a little better trade. Hey, if they got rings out of that. But, yeah.
And here's another red flag for me on this whole thing with Jalen Carter that Adam Schefter apparently told Philly Sports Radio today.
He speaks highly of you, remember.
Good for him. Prove it to me on the field and keeping yourself clean. Is that, I guess, the Eagles... We're going back and forth on him, and it took a convincing phone call from Carter himself during the night on Thursday for the Eagles to pick him at 9. I don't know if I like to hear that it was the prospect himself who convinced the team who was contemplating about picking him to pick him, saying that they're of the player they're going to get and that type of thing. If it comes down to that, I'm not so sure you should be picking that player. That's just me. So that's another major red flag for me when it comes to Jalen Carter, after hearing that today from Adam Schefter.
Well, again, I go back to the fact that this could all prove out where he is the next Aaron Donald. So all these words that we're saying now become meaningless. But I don't want to hear how ingenious somebody is when they pick somebody else that nobody else wanted. The only two organizations, I think, in that spot would pick him would be the Raiders or the Seahawks, and they both passed on him. They both got good players, but they both passed on him. And that's the part that and strikes me about this deal, because it maybe the Seahawks with their second pick when they picked at 20, okay, maybe there he might have been picked, maybe. But when you've got two teams that you think, well, you know what, if anybody would do it, it'd be those two teams, and they didn't do it. It tells you that they had questions.
Especially that Seattle took Devin Witherspoon at 5. He's the best cornerback in the draft. I didn't think he was a top 5 player.
Well, yeah, I mean, you end up being a top 5 player, but remember, you're not picking 1 through 31. Right? So it's not a 1 through 31 draft, which I think that's something when it comes to Mel Kiper Jr. and some others that do these draft things. They do this like a 1 through 31 thing. And to me it's all about not the best player available. It's the best player available at the position I need. Now, Seattle needed a defensive tackle. They needed a corner. They opted for corner, and they felt the best player available at corner for them was Witherspoon. So it's not a 1 through 31 thing. Maybe you'd have Witherspoon ranked anywhere 9, 10, 11, 12 on your total draft board. But I need a corner, and he's my number one corner. That's who I pick. So I think it's more of that, Matt, than him being the fifth best player in the draft. I just think that Seattle had needs at defensive tackle and corner. They opted for corner, and they thought he was the best corner there.
That still kind of stunned me a little bit, and that made me think a little bit harder about if the Eagles were to take Carter, how good is this going to turn out?
Yeah, I mean, as a talent, when you watch him play, he is.
Oh, no question. He's definitely one of the. He would have been a top pick in the draft, probably.
He is quick. He is violent, and I mean that in a complimentary football sense. Uses his hands well. Great takeoff. There's a lot of things about him. He's really, really good. But let's face it, with everything that's happened, he's been a mess. And when I see two teams that would be two teams that, A, need him and have the reputation as organizations willing to reach out, which they are, those two organizations are, and they didn't take him, that tells me something. And this may all work out in the end where he has a great career, and in Philadelphia he's beloved. I mean, it could end up that way, or it could end up like, well, now we know why everybody passed. And my opinion, by the way, on Jordan Davis has not changed at all. The same thing I said about him being drafted a year ago, there is nothing that has changed my mind about him. So, you may feel differently. You're a big Eagles fan. But so far, he hasn't shown me much of anything, and he's very limited in terms of the number of plays he actually can be effective out there. That may change. Shohei Ohtani, by the way, is hitting .294. Opposing hitters against Ohtani are batting .102. Ooh. How about that for a stat? Now, meanwhile, Aaron Judge, who's usually like head-to-head with him, Judge actually is hitting, what, .260 right now? But opposing hitters against Judge are batting .0.
my almighty!
Another interesting stat.
It's accurate.
It is accurate.
I mean, I go for he hadn't pitched anybody, but it's still accurate. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake, a service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Jorge Mateo led the American League in stolen bases last year. In the opening month of the season, he's hit as many home runs as Aaron Judge.
Yeah, not great.
As usual, Jason Stark of The Athletic has put out some marvelous opening month stats. We'll get into it.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show is brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Great pre-owned inventory, all with the fabulous Sunbury Motors guarantee that means so much to your buying experience. You want to buy new? Ford, Kia, Hyundai. Best in new inventory, all with great warranties. Fabulous service department that backs it all up for the life of the vehicle. I deliberately switched it up there just to make it so it doesn't sound the same every time. It's all at Sunbury Motors. 4th Street at Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online, sunburymotors.com. The great Jason Stark, who now writes for The Athletic. The Philadelphia fans were so fortunate over the years to have him there. But he just puts out some great stuff. So here are some of the notes that he put out in today's column in The Athletic. All right. He writes, who misses the late, great 3-hour and 39-minute 3-2 game? So here's the stat that he came up with. Last season, there were 232 Major League games that were 3.5 hours or longer. In the opening month of the season, and that, by the way, that excludes the 129 extra inning games. These 232 games of 3.5 hours or longer are all 9-inning games. Okay? And that averages out to one per day every day for 6 months. How many 3-hour and 30-minute plus Major League 9-inning games have we had this season? Two. Cardinals and Blue Jays in opening day 10-9 in that crazy game in Mexico City between the Padres and the Giants, it was 16-11. Between opening day and that game in Mexico City, 4 weeks, there were no games of 3.5 hours or better in 9 innings. He quoted one American League executive who said, and that is what you want. He said, quote, you know, in the NBA, nobody is saying we should make the 24-second shot clock 30 seconds so we have less shooting. In the NFL, nobody is saying let's make the play clock a minute instead of 40 seconds so we have more time between plays. you're there for the thing. You're not there for the break. So it's a welcome addition to the game. Coors Field, home of the Colorado Rockies. Wild games, right? They haven't played a single game of more than 3 hours all season, including extra innings. Now, the question is the pitch clock to blame for so many pitchers on the IL? And right now, you have 182 of them that have spent some time on the IL. It's up 14% from last year. And big names are there. Jacob DeGrom, Brandon Woodruff, Robbie Ray, Luis Garcia, Jameson Taillon, Jeffrey Springs, Carlos Carrasco, among others. But this is the part I get to, is like, not just to look at the name, look at their injury history. Are you surprised Jameson Taillon's on the injured list? Regardless of the pitch clock?
DeGrom.
Are you surprised Jacob DeGrom is on the injured list? Robbie Ray? I mean, sorry, but I mean, some guys are just, I mean, it's the way it is. So then he quotes Rick Riz, Rick's an outstanding broadcaster, does the Mariners games. And Jason Stark was talking with Rick Riz about this. And Riz said he decided to sit down and do some math. The average game is now 25 minutes shorter this season than last season. So Riz put together that over 6 months, that would be 67 and a half fewer hours that players have to spend just standing on the field, which computes to 22 and a half fewer games.
That's some good math right there.
I give Rick a lot of credit. Wow. One under the category, I wish I'd thought of that. And they say, you know what, when it comes to injuries, they said they're not sure yet how to connect the dots on that. They do say it's worth examining, but and the only thing I've heard, I was watching the Blue Jays and Red Sox game last night on TBS with Bob Costas and Ron Darling, and they were talking about the pitch clock, and when nobody's on base, it's supposed to be 15 seconds. When somebody on base is 20, they think it should be 20 throughout. Okay. Well, I mean, that's, you know, that's fair to at least consider that. To me, that's fair to at least consider that. Okay. Juan Soto. He turned down 15 years, $440 million. Okay. So now he goes, gets traded to the Padres. Soto was hitting 283, right? And through all the various metrics, since 2018, he's been number two behind Bryce Harper. This year in San Diego, he's hitting 228. He's 38th in the sport right now. Tommy Edman, the former Spike, is in front of him. I mean, he turned down $440 million to stay with the Nationals to do this. I mean, do you think he's going to get that number? Okay.
Not anymore.
You know what? It only takes one, Matt. Now, you and I both think, no, there's no way, but it only takes one. Tommy John surgery. Corey Seager took 10 months, 24 days to get back. Pablo Sandoval, 10 months, 19 days. Aaron Hicks, 8 months, 24 days. Didi Gregorius, 7 months, 24 days. Shohei Ohtani, 7 months, 6 days. Bryce Harper, 5 months, 9 days. Wow. Wow. You And there are certain guys that will do whatever they can to help the club, and that's why Harper's been doing some work at first base, and that's why Mookie Betts has been playing shortstop for the Dodgers. They just want to win. Okay. Ronald Acuña Jr. Got drilled in the shoulder by Tyler McGill. Happens. But kept on playing anyway. He is on pace for 75 stolen bases this season and a .584 slugging percentage. Ty Cobb, Ricky Henderson, Joe Morgan, the others to accomplish it. Okay. The new schedule, who does it benefit? Well, Jason Stark writes about that. Games versus winning teams. All right. Every team in the American League East is playing fewer winning teams from the year before. The Orioles are -3, the Rays -4, the Yankees -6, the Blue Jays -7, and the Red Sox are -13. And then he writes about the A's. And he does point out that at one point he did cover the Phillies in 97 for the Philadelphia Inquirer, who were a whopping 23-60 on the 4th of July and 30 games out of first place. So that's when they started doing, in the paper, the 97 Phillies versus the 62 Mets daily update. The Phillies ended up winning 38 of their final 60, so they weren't even close to losing 100 games. But where did the 1962 Mets compare to the 2023 Oakland A's? Jason Stark writes in The Athletic, the 62 Mets after 30 games were 11-19 with a -47 run differential. The A's are 6-24 with a -118 run differential. The A's team ERA is 7.72, which is the worst of any team in March-April since the 1951 St. Louis Browns. The starting rotation for the A's in the month of April, 0-15 with an 8.51 ERA.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Hey. Okay, the A's pitching staff, their rotation.
I really don't know how A's fans do it.
Well, I think they're all just waving goodbye as they go to Las Vegas.
I don't know. That may not happen. Did you see what Jeff Passan reported today? So, no. Nevada's Assembly Speaker said the Oakland A's have not presented concrete language requesting $500 million in public money to help construct the new stadium. And there's only 34 days left in the legislature session. And the Assembly Speaker also said if something were to happen, it really should have been in place last week. And this deal to buy the land is dependent upon this tax package.
I know. They'll get it done, believe me. A's starters have essentially turned every hitter in baseball into 1963 Henry Aaron, who at .317 with a .562 slugging percentage. Excuse me. Aaron hit .319 with a .586 slugging percentage in 63. So far, opposing hitters are hitting .317, .562 slugging percentage against Oakland this year. Their bullpen has turned everybody into Albert Pujols. Pujols, .357, .653 slugging percentage. in 2008. This year, hitters against the A's bullpen are hitting .354 with a .569 slugging percentage.
This is entertaining.
The A's have led three games this season after seven innings and lost all three. They have allowed 10 runs or more 12 times. The other four teams in their division have combined for seven. One American League executive said, quote, "It's possible that they're really, really bad, and that stinks. It's bad for Oakland, it's bad for baseball, and I feel sorry for everybody." Oh, my God, they're terrible.
Not when they're playing them, though.
Whew. I mean, if baseball had homecoming, they'd be everybody's homecoming game.
That's perfect.
I mean, really. Oh, my goodness.
I may or may not steal that during headlines tomorrow.
Ay. That's... And Jason Stark of The Athletic, another brilliant column by you. That's amazing. Amazing. The Mets, by the way, went 1963, 40-120, just so you know, for reference. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Dick Girardi will be on the show Friday to preview the Kentucky Derby. And I know that in the corner office they'll be sitting down, writing down everything. And just to let you know how well he has done at the track over the years, he's still in the corner office. All right, so...
S-U-I-T, that spells Suta!
If he'd done really well, he'd have beachfront property someplace. So, there you go. All right. Boy, the A's are... I mean, I knew they were bad, but now you see it graphically pointed out like that.
That's epic, actually.
Well, you know, it's interesting. To me, that's what stats can be. They can be fun. I think that what analytics did was they gave a lot of people something to work with, and then in turn, they used it, which is what they should do, and they made the game boring and worse. And that wasn't the intent. The intent was to use them to win, and that's how teams were using analytics to win. I mean, so I completely get it. There, as I said, there's many, many different ways to win. Analytics happens to be one of them. And in baseball, they would use them, you know, especially with the shifts, where a guy hits, what his tendencies are, where to put the fielders. That's great stuff. That's great stuff. Unfortunately, it made the game worse. Okay? It made it better for the managers, and it was a way to win, but it made the aesthetics of the game. And that's why they had to step in and change the rules. And look at them. I mean, for the most part, I have heard very few negative things about the new baseball rules. I don't know about you, but that one baseball executive is right. The NFL and college football are not going to go from a 40-second play clock to 60. The NBA is not going to go from 24 to 30. That college basketball might trend more toward 24. We'll see.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but praise, as it should be.
I mean, can I go with 20 seconds with nobody on base? I could buy that and just make it universal. That way it's the same time every time.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
I mean, That wouldn't bother me if it were universal. I can understand why they're doing it this way. Because, to be honest with you, to me, the biggest one is not the 15. The biggest one is the 20 with somebody on base. Because when somebody's on base in years past, that's where the game bogged down.
And that's where everybody you also have, too, that you only have a limited amount of throwovers to first base now, too. So I think if you kept it at 20 both ways, I don't think it ultimately matters that much.
If so one thing I want to see is that as the summer progresses, do stolen bases get, quote, out of control because of the limited number of throwovers and because the bases are 4 inches bigger? I don't know. That's one trend I would like to see. To see how the trend plays out. I like the fact there are more stolen bases.
Seen a lot of that from Anthony Volpe from the Yankees. He's really...
No, that's his game.
Yeah.
That's his game. No, and for some guys, I mean, that's their game. That's why we could see maybe somebody get 60 to 75 stolen bases this season. That is, and what a stolen base is it happens to be in an at-bat where somebody, for example, swings and misses, so it's not really action. That's action in the game. It's more action. And and I like what I see so far. You feel like the game is being played, and you don't feel like you don't feel like they're rushing anybody. They're just doing it in a normal sequence, even though they're telling them they have to do it in a quicker sequence. But I don't feel like the game's rushed.
I mean, I'm still going to myself saying, "Wow, that ended that match already. Wow, that's great."
Yeah. Now, the one thing I don't like is I don't know if they've changed this at all, but I don't like the idea of selling beer up to the eighth inning now. That defeats the reason why you stop selling it after seven innings.
Absolutely.
There's a reason behind that. In other words, I want to make sure you're okay when you drive home because I'd like you back at the ballpark tomorrow. Okay? That, to me, is just a common sense thing. And you gotta sacrifice some money for common sense sometimes. Although that is a rarity in today's world. Let's sacrifice some money. No, I don't think so.